Our next guest on Downtown is a Maine native, a Pulitzer Prize winner, the author of books like Olive Kittredge, The Burgess Boys, and Abide With Me, and her brand new book, which is absolutely wonderful, entitled My Name is Lucy Barton. Welcome to Downtown, Elizabeth Stroud. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to have you. Thank you to have you. Have me on. Thank you so much.
Well, the book is just wonderful. Bruce Pratt and I were both talking about the fact that it was a quick read, but in many ways for us it was too quick, because I know for both of us when we ended, we were sad to say goodbye to Lucy Barton and wanted to go back and reread it again. It was so good.
Oh, well, thank you. That's awfully nice. You know, I know that people do tend to read that book quickly, and you know, I understand that, but it's fine with me if people read it again.
Well, you know,
I think there's more there to be discovered, probably.
I think so, Elizabeth. I have read very few books in the last 5 or 6 years a second time quickly. I did it with Dave Madden's Abducted by Circumstance. I did it with Olive Kittredge because I thought I was, as a writer, really learning a lot about how to do that kind of a thing. But the thing I found so impressive about this book, it's true of all of your books, but I found so much here. Every character's humanity is there at the end and is there at the beginning. And so often now we have cardboard heroes or cardboard villains. These are such wonderfully nuanced and richly interesting characters. Did they have to percolate a long time in your mind?
You know, first of all, I'm glad to hear you say that, because, you know, I never ever want to write, you know, any melodrama or anything like that. I mean, you know, I'm interested in real people. And the characters, they do percolate along. They do. They gradually reveal themselves to me as I, you know, write them out.
Well, I know that you once said to me that it takes you a while to finish a book, that you write very deliberately. How long was this one under construction?
Lucy Barton probably took me about 2 years, and for me, that's enormously fast.
Wow. I would love to be able to write that in 2 years.
Is it? Would you say, as it appears that Lucy Barton would experience here, that no matter what happens to us in life, no matter the changes we go through and however old we are, that we still view life through the lens of what we experienced as children?
Well, you know, that's awfully interesting. The poet Louise Glick said, we view life once in childhood, the rest is memory, which I think is such a wonderful line. And that's what brought your question brought that to mind. I think that there is always that lens from our childhood. You know, it may fluctuate at times, it may grow dimmer at times, but it's always going to be there.
Yeah, you also did something in this book that's a little different from your previous books, in that you none of this is in Maine. And I was wondering, I'm sure it was a conscious decision, why you chose Illinois, the Midwest, the plain.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had a
reason.
Exactly.
Well, my husband and I were driving around the Midwest. I've been there, you know, a number of times anyway. But we were driving around the Midwest, and the sky, there was something about the sky. And, you know, one little house, you know, on one horizon, and one little house, you know, far on the other horizon. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, oh, my, you know, wait a minute, Lucy Barton is from here. And so that's really how that started. And we went back a number of times to the Midwest to make sure that, you know, I had the details right and stuff. But I just saw that when I was out there. It just came to me very clearly that was where she was going to be from.
We're talking with Elizabeth Stroud. Her new book is called My Name is Lucy Barton. I felt like I knew Lucy by the end of the book, but you know her better than anyone. What was there about Lucy Barton that gave her the grace to accept what life threw at her and the failings of other people that she encountered along the way?
Yeah, interesting. You know, she's just Lucy. When I began to work on her, and her voice was so distinct to me, I just kept listening to the tone of her voice, and it was kind of all in her voice who she was. And so it's just who Lucy was, I think, that she, or is, you know, that she does have that transcendent view, I think, in some ways.
For people who don't write, how would you explain the joy of the first person narrative when you suddenly figure out that you can channel, if you will, your character. Mm. What's that moment like for you?
Right. Well, for me, that moment was actually scary because I've never written a book in the first person before. I mean, it's been years since I wrote even a story in the first person. And so I was actually a little nervous about that. But when I just kept hearing her voice, and I thought, okay, Lucy, we're going to go for it here. So then it was freeing. Then I just freed myself up to let myself do it. But I was actually conscious about it at first because I had not done it. And when you do it in the first person, then you're limited to that one person's point of view. And I'm always so interested in different people's point of view that, you know, I've always written from omniscient narration so that I can, you know, move around the different heads of people. And this time we're just going to be with Lucy.
And when you find that voice, when you know what Lucy sounds like, does that make it easier and do the words flow a bit more freely?
Yes, exactly. And that's always... it's true for all of my work. It's always a sense of trying to find the right sound that will convey the story that I'm telling, but especially for Lucy because it was first person and it had that particularly personal feel to it as a story. And so I kept trying to find the voice and find the voice. And then when I did find the voice, then it loosened up and it came more freely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Without, I just won't spoil a thing for anybody, but... if you could, what was the moment like when you envisioned the scene with the candy apple? I got to say, both Rich and I said that about drove us to our knees. I thought that was one of the most compelling things I've read in a really, really long time. And I wondered if you could share, without tipping the whole thing off, what that was like for you writing that scene.
That is so interesting. Nobody's mentioned that to me, and that's very interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that. Writing that scene, I mean, I certainly remember writing it, and I don't know. It just came to me. It was just, it was later on in the process of writing. I don't write from beginning to end ever, you know, anything. And yet it was later on in the process of writing whatever turned into the book that I wrote that scene. And I just saw, you know, those tiny teeth weren't able to get into the crest of the candied apple.
I mean,
you know.
It didn't go to waste. I mean, that was the amazing thing about it. You mentioned not writing in a linear fashion or chronological fashion. Since so much of your writing employs a nonlinear narrative, do you find that that's helped by not trying to write the book in the order it will necessarily appear?
It probably is. It probably is. Yeah. But it's not a conscious decision. It's just how I work. So it's just what I do. It's really what I've always done. And then, you know, with something like The Burgess Voice, which is a more conventional narration from, you know, beginning to end, then there's a point where I have to say to myself, okay, now let's pull all this together and figure out where we will begin and where will the middle be and where will the end be, you know. But with Lucy Barton, it was a little more free-flowing.
What's the experience like, Elizabeth, when you get to know these characters, and especially one as memorable as Lucy Barton, when you let her loose into the world? Is there a sense, is there sort of a parental feel to it as you send her out there to be experienced and to be discovered by people?
There is. There really is. It's funny. Like I feel a little queasy, you know. I think, okay, Lucy, good luck. Out there.
Like sending her off to school.
It is. It's like sending a kid to kindergarten on their first day, you know, because there's an innocence to all the people that I create. I feel like when they're about to go into the world, it's like, oh, you know, please be kind to them.
You mentioned multiple points of view. It's existed in your other books. One of the things I thought was really great about this was that you were able to get the mother and the father's point of view in when it was necessary by the way they reacted to Lucy. I'm recommending that to my current students. Read this so you'll see that I'm not crazy when I'm telling you can do this.
Right, exactly.
What was it? I mean, did you find that you might do the limited narration again?
You know, I just don't know. I've wondered about that a little bit. I think I'd be a little nervous about it for a while. I just don't know. I don't know, actually. That's the truthful answer. I don't know.
And when you talk about discovering the mother and father, what made that possible, I thought, and for us to get to know them a little bit, is that because of Lucy's amazing lack of judgment.
Yeah.
Yes. I really was very interested in Lucy, who is a writer, you know, coming to that page without any judgment. And that's, it's sort of her developing that part of herself of learning, you know, okay, this is, you know, we judge each other all the time in the world, and let's not try and do that so much, you know.
And if there's an overarching message from the book, would that be it?
I think so. I think probably that would be it. It's like, you know, let's just accept that we are all pretty much trying the best that we can. I mean, everybody has their story. Lucy's father has his story. Lucy's mother has her story, even though we don't fully know it. But, you know, most people, I think, really are just trying to do the best they can.
We're talking with Elizabeth Strout. The new book is entitled My Name is Lucy Barton. Olive Kittredge, of course, a huge success and became a very successful television miniseries as well. What is that like for you as a writer, having someone else's vision of your character come to the screen?
Yeah, it was kind of wild. It was. First of all, I thought they did a wonderful job, just a wonderful job. So that was great. And it felt like it almost didn't have that much to do with me in a way. You know, when I thought oh, this is so interesting. This is so, you know, such a great thing that they've done. And then once in a while I would recognize something and I'd think, oh, wait, I wrote that first. So, you know, it was weird. It was just strange. But I thought they did a wonderful job.
Yeah, I remember my wife coming to me and telling me, you know, who the actors were going to be, and I said, McDormand's going to play Olive. She's not Olive. Now I can't imagine anyone else but her being Olive.
Yeah.
I wondered if you had the same reaction at first. I mean, I didn't think of Olive as sort of that kind of the face. I thought it was a little more severe.
Well, I think Frances McDormand's very pretty.
Oh, I do too.
You know, and I don't think of Olive as particularly pretty, and I think of Olive as bigger, much
right.
bigger, you know, taller, and just bigger.
Yeah, I saw her more B. Arthur, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. And so, you know, Frances can't hide that pretty face, really.
Yeah.
But she did a wonderful job. She did, you know, so she made, like, a new kind of Olive, in a way.
It was really great.
Well, Elizabeth, yeah. The book is just a delight. It's one of the most enjoyable reads that I've had in some time. I'm recommending it to everybody. I don't need to wish you good luck because I know it's going to be and already is a tremendous success. But thank you so much for writing the book and for coming on to talk about it with us here.
Oh, it's really, really been my pleasure. And thank you. I really appreciate it so much.
Elizabeth, it's great to hear your voice, and I can't wait for the next one.
Thank you. Thank you very much.